And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I thought that was a lemon drop. I didn't think it was tequila.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. Don't mind that date card. It's wrong. It's Friday, January 27th, 2023. And this is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the yard. And alongside me, thanks to the power of technology, looking extra sweaty today, Tass Mellis.
I want to see if I make the All-Star team. Got to get it in before the game.
We also have the bearded one, Matasha Hotboy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Ayo! And last but not least, making the magic happen, up in the 666, it's Jerome Chang. What's up, Jerome?
Not much. Just a little cold open to get everyone to, you know, weekend safely and responsibly.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. Make sure you know what you're drinking, if it's a lemon drop or a tequila shot. Those are quite different. shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, like, and comment, share the show. We love to see it. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Send in your questions and comments to nodunks@theathletic.com. You can hit us up on Twitter as well, at nodunksinc, that's I-N-C on the end. And guys, 3 weeks from today, we will be live in Salt Lake City. Yeah, I know, that caught me by surprise, TK. 3 weeks from today, tickets still available. Use that link there in the show notes. Friday, February 17th at the Urban Lounge. I am getting very, very excited to be back on stage with you guys, talking some hoops and talking to a live studio audience. Be great.
Cannot wait to touch the stage again. Here's a random request. If you know anything about Salt Lake City or Utah culture, send it in so we can do an up-down report on what's going down in Salt Lake City. Obviously, it's the home of jazz. The jazz. The Utah jazz. They've got valleys. They've got beautiful mountains. But what else is there? Let us know.
Right. That's so we can do like a Utah version of the up-down report live on stage. We did that in Chicago last time we did a live show. I like that idea. So yeah. Also tell us like where we should go. Like what are the must eat at restaurants or bars to attend?
We're already going to Blue Jeans, so don't worry about that. We'll be at Blue Jeans. We'll be there. Yes.
Maybe we're going to the only two places in Salt Lake City, Blue Jeans and the Urban Lounge. We're just checking them off. Anyway, let us know. Tweet in your suggestions. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. We'd really appreciate it. Okay. The 2023 NBA All-Star starters, they were revealed. Once again, it's going to be Team LeBron versus Team Giannis after those two led their respective conferences in total votes. But let's look at the 10 stars of stars here. In the East, the backcourt, it's Kyrie Irving and Donovan Mitchell. The frontcourt, your FC, it's KD, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, and Giannis, like I said, is the captain. Okay, let's jump over to the West. Your guards are Curry and Luka. Hopefully he's okay after that little twist of the ankle there last night. And your forwards, LeBron as the captain, Jokic, and Zion Williamson sneaks in there in the end. Before we get to making our picks, because that's what we're doing here for a majority of this Drop podcast, debating our reserves, any takeaways or surprises, Tass, from the 10 starters announced last night?
The Zion one is definitely somewhat surprising. It's always, we always got to dig in and see who the players voted for, who the fans voted for, and who the media voted for. That's the most fun part. Mm-hmm. The difference between the players and the media is always interesting to me. Like, the players vote Giannis as their number one forward in the Eastern Conference. He's the rock. He's always going to be there, while the media voted him fourth. He was second. The media had Tatum as their best forward. Tatum was fourth among the players. It's all convoluted. It's all convoluted as I make this more convoluted. Same thing with the guards. The players have Kyrie number one while the media had him fourth behind Mitchell, Jaylen Brown, and Haliburton. Mm-hmm. But this one was the most shocking to me. The players had Trae Young as the 12th best guard in the Eastern Conference. Not in the NBA. In the Eastern Conference. 27 points and 10 assists, Trae Young. He received 13 votes from all the players in the league. Trae Young has 13 teammates. So what the hell happened with those votes? Did some of his teammates not vote for him? Did zero NBA players not vote for him? Well, that's the mystery. That's the investigation that someone has to do. Literally, 13 votes from all the players in the league. Listen to the guys ahead of him. LaMelo Ball, who has barely played and is on one of the worst teams in the NBA. Tyler Hero had the same amount of votes. Terry Rozier almost had the same amount of votes. That's a mystery. Somebody's got to figure that one out.
Well, I mean, but the truth is, all of those guys you just listed should have zero votes if the players took it actually seriously and didn't vote just for their buddies and teammates and stuff like that. We're only voting for the starters. Like, there's like 3, 4, maybe 5 guys, okay, not the rest of these guys.
Trae Young has 27 points and 10 assists per game. He should have default throw him votes, a guy who's been an all-star before. Fair. To have as many votes as LaMelo Ball, the guy who didn't start the season and didn't play for a long time and is on one of the worst teams. Trae is on a 500 team. Mm-hmm. I understand that other players definitely took into account the Nate McMillan issue, the whole thing going around the front office, but to have the exact same amount as like a Tyler Hero, it's surprising to me.
What do you got, Trae? Any other takeaways, surprises?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised to see that Zion was the third front court starter in the Western Conference, because I thought his all-star case as a reserve was going to be one of the trickiest and one of the hardest to decide if he should make it with regards to how awesome he was when he was on the court versus how much he's been on the court. So thank you for doing our job for us there, throwing him in as the third starter. I thought that was nice. I was surprised to see that Giannis got more player votes than Kevin Durant. I thought Kevin Durant was like the Kyrie Irving of Eastern Conference front court, would be the number one vote getter because the guy's got the deepest bag in the game. For a takeaway, it's going to be pretty weird. If we actually get to the All-Star game, the Philadelphia 76ers are the one seed in the Eastern Conference, and Joel Embiid is leading the league in scoring, but isn't starting?
Yeah.
Somebody was going to be left out in the Eastern Conference front court. We all knew that was going to happen. With the way the percentages are weighed, it all makes sense why it went down like that. But it is going to look strange if the Sixers have the best record in the league and a guy leading the league in scoring, and he's coming off the bench. But that's just how it had to be this year. I don't know who you would actually have chosen to send to the bench. I kind of think it would be Giannis. That would be my number four vote getter in the Eastern Conference front court personally. And, you know, I don't think he's came off the bench in an all-star game yet. So just give him a taste. See what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. A big part of that, I mean, Tass was going through it, is with Embiid, the players and the media had him starting, right? They ranked him third in the East front court. But the fans, of course, had him fourth. With Tatum sort of edging ahead of him. And then, yeah, the media had Tatum first. So when you start doing the whole, the weighted calculation with the fans 50%, players and media 25%, that got Tatum in there and Embiid.
That's the big man stuff. That's the big man issue, right? I think that's the big man problem with the fans voting him fourth behind Giannis, Durant, and Tatum. Big men just don't get the love. They don't get the shoe deals. They don't get the love. That's the way it is.
Might be a part of it. My only other notes from the starters here. Donovan Mitchell, first time starting an all-star game in his first year in Cleveland. Pretty cool. Obviously, he's made the team a couple times, but that's amazing. And, you know, there was no debate there. He was basically a lock to be one of those starting guards in the East. And then LeBron James, record-tying 19th selection here. He has started every all-star game since 2005, since we started, you know, basically podcasting, he served as a captain every season since the NBA implemented the draft format. We know that. He's never lost as a captain here. But his 19th bid ties him with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who appeared in every All-Star game from 70 to 89, with the exception of 1 year where he broke his right hand like 2 minutes into the season. Punched somebody on Milwaukee, I believe Kareem did, and missed a good chunk of time. And I guess if LeBron plays in this game in Salt Lake City, and why wouldn't he? He will become the first player in NBA history to actually appear in 19 games, because there was some other game where Kareem was selected but didn't play. I think it was like the early 70s, maybe 1973. So LeBron, I mean, I know it's every second night there's something he's doing where it's like, whoa, that's a record-breaking thing. Oh, that's a new longevity record. But 19 times, and I don't see why he doesn't make the All-Star game next year too. Like, so
I think he's going to make it.
20? Man, it's just wild. So those are my other notes. And then the injury parts, and I know it might come into play here when we talk about our reserves, but you know, Zion is out, though he's selected as a starter. Durant is out, though he's selected as a starter. I make note of this because the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, will determine any injury replacements. And he has traditionally selected a player from the same conference if he needs to replace that injured player. And usually just like who is next in the voting of that positional group, right? He's very, very rarely, if any times, has gone from like, oh, this forward is injured, so we'll just go straight up with a guard and stuff like that. He likes to sort of just like go like, okay, who's sort of next? So that might come into play here if we get into some injury replacements.
And let me just jump on your LeBron comment about him likely playing. I do want to just say it's kind of cool to hear like Kevin Durant, who is injured right now, say, I want to play. I want to be out there. Mm-hmm. To still have that excitement here at, you know, year 16 for him in the NBA, to still want to be out there, and you know, he's excited for it. I mean, he's mm-hmm. a basketball nerd, so of course he's excited for it. But some guys, you know, you see some guys like a Jimmy or a Harden don't necessarily care all the time. But Durant's having his best season, and the players love him, as Trey mentioned, and he should be out there. Hopefully he will be. I imagine he's going to be healthy in 3 weeks, as you said. That's 23 yeah. days away. He wants to be out there. He seems like a fast healer. So hopefully for him, he'll be out there because he is a basketball nerd. He loves it. He wants to be out there.
Yeah, hopefully Zion and Durant and, of course, Luka, if it's not too serious with that ankle, are all playing. And even some of these other guys that are sort of like banged up a little bit. Hopefully we have the whole crew there in Salt Lake City. This is Durant's 13th All-Star team, by the way, too. Like, he missed the first 2 years of his career, and then he only missed that 1 year where he was completely injured and didn't play at all with the Achilles injury. Otherwise, he's always an All-Star. Okay, let's get to making our picks. Once again, let's start. We'll start in the East. East Coast bias. The starters, you see it there. Kyrie, Donovan Mitchell, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, and Giannis. So that job is done for us. We don't need to debate who's starting. It's been selected. I guess the best way to go about this is to like go through our locks that we all agree on and like maybe touch on them briefly and then get into the real debates, which are probably anywhere between two to four spots, right? So Joel Embiid leading the league in scoring, like you said, 33.4 points per game. He's second only to Jokic in player efficiency rating. He's played 35 games, which definitely is enough for me. Joel Embiid, thumbs up from everyone on making your all-star reserve pick there in the East.
Lock him in. That's an easy one.
Okay. Well, let's stick with the bigs. Is Bam Adebayo of the Miami Heat a lock for everybody to make their all-star teams, averaging 22-10-3 as the Heat have come up here in the East Conference standings? Or does anyone want to push back and say a lock? I don't know.
I got him locked in for sure. And looking at the way the players voted, having him as the fifth highest forward, which was a little surprising to me, but he's higher than his teammate in Jimmy Butler, higher than Julius Randle, higher than Pascal Siakam. So if coaches think like the players, when they make their reserve picks, Bam has a very, very, very good shot of getting in. And he's a lock for me because he's been the most important Heat player.
Okay, Trey?
Yeah, I'm 100% with Tass. The question for me is going to be, do the Heat deserve two All-Stars? And the question is Bam the second one? Bam, for me, is locked in as the first All-Star. And I think that it's not just a two-way play thing. It's his offense has been incredible this year, and they've had, you know, a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. We've seen Bam drag the Heat to wins just like Jimmy has. So, yeah, that's an easy lock for me.
Okay, so those are two, let's, you know, call them bigs there in the reserves. Two guards that should be locks, I think, for both of you guys agreeing with me. Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics and Tyrese Halliburton of the Indiana Pacers. Yes and yes?
Yes and yes. I thought they both had, at times, starting cases for the Eastern Conference All-Star second starting spot. Like, Mitchell, to me, has been locked in for quite some time as a starter. And honestly, in the past month, since Kevin Durant went out, Kyrie has kind of cemented himself as a starter as well. But Halliburton, leading the league in assists until James Harden qualifies, I think that's an easy choice. Been super fun to watch. Put the Pacers back on the map for a team that's surprised everybody. And then Jaylen Brown, I mean, he's the second best player on the Celtics by a hair, barely. You know, maybe maybe he's not feeling the greatest today after last night. But once he gets that all-star reserve nod, things will cheer up a little bit.
Tass?
Yeah, that's totally true about Jaylen Brown, the way he's been balling, other than those free throws. The Halliburton thing is phenomenal. I know we continuously say stuff about LeBron every single year. Feels like we've said the same thing about Halliburton since he's had more opportunities with the Pacers. And that is, he's stayed efficient. And I think that is the remarkable thing. But he's just that smart in that he doesn't, you know, take shots that are outside of his capabilities. His true shooting percentage, the real percentage, I think I'm going to say that a lot as we get into the comparisons between players, is well above the league average. And that is impressive because he's the lead guard on that team and he could easily, you know, try and take more shots and shots outside of his capabilities, but he doesn't. And that's why his numbers are, his percentages are basically the same as when he was with the Kings when he was a young player. So he deserves it. He's been extremely steady.
I will, I almost want to lock it in. I almost want to bet on it if I could, that LeBron will draft Tyrese Halliburton to his all-star team. He's going to want a playmaker that wants to, like, obviously just move the rock, play with some pace, obviously efficient. I mean, what a year. 20-10-4 with sexy shooting splits of 48-40-88. I mean, he's flirting there with the 50-40-90 club. I feel like LeBron will want him on his team. And then Jaylen Brown, 27-7, highest field goal percentage of his career at around 49%. I think a lot of people thought he should have been starting alongside Donovan Mitchell, like Trey was saying. So those guys are locks. Okay, so that's Embiid. That's Bam. That's Jaylen Brown. That's Tyrese Halliburton. If we're following the rules, we are supposed to fill out our ballot with three front court players when it comes to the reserves, two guards, and then two wild cards. You can go wherever you want. So if we want to do that, let's try and figure out that third forward on our, you know, team here. And we can have more than that if we want, but at least let's get that third. Trey, I got a couple names to chuck at you. I feel like Julius Randle, Siakam, I mean, DeRozan is your forward, is your guard. I feel like those are the names at the top of the front court next, you know, sort of tier. Is there anyone I'm forgetting, or who would you like to go to bat for first?
You mentioned the guy I'm going to bat for, and I never feel more caught in the moment than when I'm watching basketball games and making my all-star reserve picks. Julius Randle is a lock.
What a timing on this guy. Yeah.
25 points per game, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. He's shooting 46% from the field. The Knicks are good. He was on fire last night. Fun to watch. Talk about a roller coaster ride for this guy. All NBA, All-Star a couple of seasons ago. Thumbs down last year. We're thumbs up again. I think Randle, to me, is the locked-in All-Star from the Knicks. Certainly, we're going to hear cases from Jalen Brunson coming forward. But if you're filling out a legal ballot here, you need to get another front court player in there. Randle has got to be the guy.
Okay. Tass, agree or disagree with that one?
I'm totally with Trey. I don't know if I'm in the moment either, but I had Brunson for a while, the first couple months of the season, because he turned around the team. They were a sub-500 team, and now they're a plus-500 team. And I think he is the reason that Randle was able to take it to another level, because he's that rock. And because he was steady, and because Randle doesn't have to be a number one guy anymore, or it doesn't have the number one pressure anymore, doesn't have to do absolutely everything, Randle took it to another level in December. And that's when I started to you know, really notice Randle, as everybody did. He's been ridiculous the last couple months. And so he's been more efficient. He's the guy from the Knicks. I do agree, after comparing them and comparing guys like, you know, potential guys like Siakam, or DeRozan if you shove him at a forward spot or whoever. Yeah, I think Randle will get there.
Okay, I'm with you guys. Randle's on my he's on my team here. He has had impeccable timing with this, playing the best basketball of his season, you know, the last month or so, where his numbers have sort of like skyrocketed. Now he's throwing down dunks on national television, hitting threes. He's on fire right now. Let's get this guy in the three-point contest, for crying out loud. I think Jalen Brunson deserves a hell of a lot of credit too, like you were saying, Tass, for getting the Knicks back to a respectable record here, and just for how he's played. And I know we'll get into his numbers and his clutch play and all that. They sort of go hand in hand, and they maybe both should make it. I've been shocked to see some ballots from some people in the media that have no Knicks on their team, and I'm like, I can't get there. So okay, we're all agreeing that Randle is at least on our team. So that's five names. There's only two spots left, and we've hit our quota on the front court and the guards, so we can get wild with it. These are our wild cards.
Put your hand down and pick anybody you want.
I mean, you want me to chuck a bunch of names at you? We obviously said Siakam, who will still be in the running here. DeRozan. Jimmy Butler is always a fascinating one. You talked about whether or not you'd have two Heat on your team there, Trey. Jalen Brunson, of course. And then, you know, Tass off the top, talking about where's the love for Trey Young? With the, you know, the numbers he puts up, maybe not the greatest efficiency this year, and this team's sort of struggling. I think Darius Garland, for some reason, is being oddly overlooked in this conversation. And James Harden and Drew Holiday. I'll end it there. I'm sure we'll do, hey, what about this guy at the end of this? But that's, I mean, I gave you like, what was that? At least eight names for two spots. Tass, let's start with you. Is there one name within that group, or maybe someone I missed, that you're like, they got to be on my team?
No, definitely it's one of those guys. I don't feel like a coach here. I'm going with a guy who's been there, done that, and that's what coaches do in this circumstance. They say, okay, I feel like a lot of these guys are sort of equal. Before we get to the seventh spot, which was my controversial spot, the sixth spot for me was DeMar DeRozan.
Sixth reserve
for me. He's had a ridiculous year. Maybe it's the numbers that are influencing me to some degree, but he's been, you know, above average efficiency wise, which some people, you know, who cares? I get that. But 26-5-5, 90% from the line, essentially, on really good percentages. Doesn't have to shoot the three. That's how good he is. Well, you know, when we compare him to some of the other names, like you said, Siakam, Trey. I guess we go Jimmy, yeah. Harden or whoever. He's been the steadiest. I know his team is probably the worst of all of them, except for Siakam's. But I went with the steady Freddy. I just couldn't penalize him in any way. He's just been he's been there all year long, and yeah, his team has been bad around him, but he's been great. So I got no problem putting him on.
This is the issue here, Trey. It's like if the Raptors and Bulls were just like, just even 500, just around 500, then I think this would be so simple. We would be like, no-brainer, Siakam, no-brainer, DeRozan, here we go, done. But because they're so far down in the standings and all of those other guys I listed are just as deserving and on better teams and maybe even playing better, like, this is where it gets tough for me. But you're a Bulls guy. Do you have DeRozan sort of where Tass had him in his rankings?
Well, I'm just so thankful that Tass made the case he made right now, because if I showed up here on this podcast after the Bulls lost to the Charlotte Hornets and made a case for DeMar DeRozan as an all-star, it would seem insane.
Yeah.
But coming from an outside observer, it's all good. I know Tass was looking at the true shooting percentage. He saw that DeMar DeRozan's true shooting percentage is higher than both Trae Young and Pascal Siakam. He said, put him in, baby. It ain't his fault. He's been money in the fourth quarter. There is a case for him here, but for me, it's a choice of, is it better to have the best players in the game, even if that means you're doubling up on some teams, or is it better to honor more teams? I don't know, because to me, it broke down the categories into a couple of different categories. Good guys on good teams. So you're talking Jimmy Butler, James Harden, and Jalen Brunson. And then good guys on mid no dunks teams. DeRozan, Trey, and Siakam. Right. It's like, I don't necessarily know which way to go. I think I'm putting Jimmy Butler in, though. Because to me, of these six guys that are in the mix, he is clearly the best player. He's been top 10 in the league when he plays. The only case against him is minutes. And I decided this year, as long as you played 30 games, That's good enough for me. Nobody plays anymore. Minutes are down for everybody. Everybody misses time. So as long as you're there for most of your team's games, I'm happy.
When we get to the Western Conference, I mean, I have a rule that you got to play 30 games at least. Jimmy Butler hits that, so
exactly.
I got no issue there.
30 is the perfect number.
Yeah, 30 feels like you're getting to, like, you got to play sort of 60% of your team's games to be considered an all-star. Again, that's just my opinion, so that's going to, like, cross off AD for me. It would have crossed off Zion, unbelievably, for me, too. But anyway, Jimmy's there, 34 games played, 21-6-5, shooting 52%. Man, wow.
Yeah, see, that's why with the games played, I usually penalize guys that haven't played a lot of games. But in this rare season where nobody is playing, as you said, Trey, no one's playing, I want to reward guys
for playing. Well, let me push back on that. What do you mean nobody's playing? Some guys, like DeRozan, until he recently got injured, played a ton.
Yeah,
you know, Julius Randle, I don't think, has missed a game. Yeah.
Yeah, they're on my team. I want to reward guys that actually play. And so Jimmy has missed a third of his team's games. Yeah, he'll play 60 at the end of the season, baby. It made it easy. You want to split hairs amongst players. You see Jimmy down there games played. So I think you got to reward guys who want to go out and play every single game. I don't want to be a Richard Jefferson. Jimmy, probably the best player. We're talking a playoff series. If you're picking between Randle and even DeRozan and Siakam, yeah, you're taking Jim. But, you know, I want to reward guys that did play.
Okay, so right now we've got Tass going to bat for DeRozan. We got Trey going to bat for Jimmy. I guess I'll go to bat and play the homer card for Siakam. Because I think, in comparing him with these guys that we are here, he's right there, if not still above them. You know, he missed some time, no doubt. He's played 39 games. He's averaging 25, 8, 6.5. I mean, these are like, that's like your old LeBron classic line. It's clean, man. He does a lot for this team, the Raptors, even though they sort of stink. True shooting percentage of 57%. So yeah, a little bit under DeRozan. He's just hurt that the Raptors are 22-27. I mean, that's it. If they're 500, he's in. He might be in as it is. It feels like coaches will select him. But I'll have him on my team here. Okay. That final slot. Tass, where do you go?
It was between Pascal Siakam and Trae Young for me.
I'm perplexed that you'd have him over a lot of guys.
The team is 500.
Yeah, but like I've watched a lot of Hawks games, and there's many times where DeJounte Murray looks more deserving as the All-Star starting spot or reserve spot than Trae Young.
Well, yeah, I think you got a little bias there, because that guy Trae Young is way more involved in the plays. He's way more of a playmaker. His usage is way higher. That being said, I'm taking Pascal Siakam over Trae Young. I think the Hawks, we're talking about, you know, all these teams here. The Hawks are above 500. When it comes down to it, they're going to be the only team, if Trae Young doesn't make it, to be 500 and not have an all-star. But Pascal Siakam, in comparison to Trae Young, 9 billion times more efficient. Does anybody care? I mean, I think it should matter to some degree. I don't want to get too deep into the numbers, but true shooting percentage is a real, real good number. It combines every single shot that a player takes. Every time the ball leaves an NBA player's fingertips, that number goes into true shooting percentage, whether it's a three-point shot, a two-point shot, a free throw. So I think that's a pretty good indicator if a guy's a good player. And Trae Young is way below league average, even though he puts up those numbers. So Trae,
Siakam is at 57.0 true shooting percentage. Trae Young is at 56.6.
Not good enough. We got one guy who is better, and he is a billion times better defender. And I think that should play a part. Pascal Siakam plays on that end, and Trae doesn't. And that's why amongst the players, Trae was voted so low. I think that's a part of it. Everything going on his team. And so Siakam, I can understand leaving him off, I got a little bias for Siakam, and I think splitting hairs, defense matters in this instance for me.
Okay, so Tass, his last two, DeRozan and Siakam, so going with the no dunks picks, despite the records there from the Bulls and the Raps. Trey, you had Jimmy, that's your guy, that's your dog, who's your seventh?
Joining Jimmy is James. controversial. Okay. 31 games played for James Harden. Ooh. I don't care. 21.5 points per game, 11 assists per game. He will be leading the league in assists by the time the All-Star game comes around, and he's qualified. The Sixers are balling right now. They can easily be the first seed in the Eastern Conference. And to me, the cases that you're going to make over James Harden are like for Jalen Brunson. And the one case for him is that he plays more. So that's not a concern for me this season. Or you're taking players from way worse teams who have bigger stats because they're the unquestioned number one guy. But I'm ultimately going with Harden. I think his season has been a little bit undervalued here because of the slow start. He went out for injury for a time, and because he's the number two guy with alongside Embiid. But Embiid is getting such easy shots, and a big part of the reason that he's getting such easy shots is because Harden just sets him up with these tasty dishes. So, I don't know. That's the guy I feel least confident about making my pick, but give me James Harden.
This guy's taking two Jimmys.
Two Jimmys.
It's crazy. Jimmy Harden and Jimmy Butler. I'll go Jalen Brunson as my last pick. I almost feel like I have to because I've been talking him up all season long, but he's deserving. I mean, it is sort of wild. I did the old basketball reference stat head thing where you can compare players and the seasons they're having. Throw in a Jalen Brunson, a Darius Garland, and a Drew Holiday, like just those three. Holy crap. Their numbers are very, very similar, but Brunson gets the edge for me because I feel the importance he's had on that Knicks team and like turning them around. But 22, 6, 3.5, shooting splits of 47, 40, and 84, if you're rounding up a tiny, tiny bit. And he ranks third in the league in overall clutch points, DeRozan being one of them, De'Aaron Fox out west, and then Jalen Brunson right there. And the Knicks have a really good record in clutch situations, close games, 5 points or less in the final 5 minutes. So I'll give the love to two Knicks players, which is shocking. That's the weird part, I guess. Like, the Knicks get two, but the Bucks or the Sixers don't, on my ballot. That's a little odd, but that's the way it's going to go. Okay. Wow, we do not have a lot of agreements there at the end. Tass and I both have Siakam.
Was
the one sort of overlap. TK not even taking DeRozan. Yeah, all right.
I think Siakam also, the factor is he's a number one guy. That's a little bit of a bonus over a guy like Harden. The defense also, huge factor. He plays a lot. So, yeah, I'm fine homering for sure. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, man. Again, you can make legit cases for a lot of these guys. And like I said, I even feel like I'm not giving Garland and Drew Holiday enough love here, or even a Jimmy or a DeRozan. It's tough. What about the old, hey, what about this guy list? Any other names, Trey, that you want to just chuck out to the podcast listeners?
I got no other names. All of my names came up. I didn't think that there was this deep, deep pool. Like, Brooke Lopez was an early candidate. I don't really think so anymore. Drew Holiday, I guess he's a candidate. He's over 20 points per game, but not really for me. I honestly think it's crazy that you guys both have Siakam on this team.
Really?
The Raptors are unwatchable.
It's not because of him.
A little bit. A little bit it is. If your best offensive player is Siakam, look at what your offense is.
I think this coaches are first off going to select Siakam. So then you're going to be just as upset with them as us as picking him. Because I think they see him as a better player than a lot of these guys at this point in his career.
We shall see. Maybe not.
Any other hey, what about this guy's Tass?
Well, the players threw a hey, what about this guy. They had Paolo Banchero above Julius Randle. Just threw Banchero's name in there a bunch over Julius Randle. Now, they may have decided a month ago who they were going to pick, and they said, Paolo Banchero. That guy's rookie of the year. Put him in there. That's probably the case, but that was shocking to me. I needed to say Banchero because we've said every other guy's name. Although the fans wanted Kuzma in there, but he's fringy. And Brooke, yeah, he would have been there, I think, if this was the first month of the season. They were kicking ass like they were, and he was up, and they were up there as a one seed. But yeah, not anymore.
Drew Holiday is more deserving as a second buck, I think, than Brooke Lopez, in my opinion, if we get to that point. Nick Claxton is the only other name I could even say, hey, what about this guy? Not making it. You already got two Nets, but he's played well, especially as of late. He's putting up some monster numbers there. A a lot of them coming in losses with no KD, but he's played well at the center position. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll do the exact same thing, but in the Western Conference. Back in 60 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, a friendly reminder, if you're joining us live here on YouTube, we love it. Hit that like button. Comment away as you are. Make sure you subscribe. And if you're a podcast listener, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Helps us out in terms of the rankings and helping new NBA fans find the show. That's all we ask. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, we've debated the East. Got a little spicy. I love it. Let's get to the West here. Again, a reminder, your all-star starters announced on Thursday night. It's Curry and Luka Doncic in the backcourt, and it's LeBron James, the Joker, and Zion Williamson. Okay, our locks. Feel like there might be more here in the West than there were even in the East. The guards, I'd like to throw three at you guys right away. Ja Morant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Damian Lillard. Does everybody agree that, I know the first two you agree with, but do you agree Damian Lillard Tass is a lock as well?
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, he got hot, obviously, at the right time here, dropping 60-point games. To me, he's a little like DeMar in the Eastern Conference. Been there, done that, deserves it. Get him in.
And Trey, thumbs up?
Oh, 100% thumbs up. 30 points per game, 7.5 assists, and he is the guy for the Trail Blazers. And yeah, the timing of it has been nice, but even if you throw out the last month, Lillard was in the mix. He just pushed himself over the edge recently.
Okay, how about the front court then? Locks. We'll start with one at a time. Sabonis for the Sacramento Kings. I know that some people thought he may have been should have been starting, obviously, in the for the West. Everybody has him a lock. Have him on your roster, Tass?
Yep, for sure.
Okay, just a monster. Trey, as you get a little replenished there, a little water in you. Sabonis, you're lighting the beam for him?
Oh, I'm lighting the beam for the boner.
There you go. Okay. We don't even need to go on anymore. Guy's been unreal. And then how about Lauri Markkanen? As a lock. I saw Zilla write 25-9 on Durantian efficiency for Lauri Markkanen. Sort of a good way to put it. Okay, Tass is on board with Markkanen. What about you, Trey?
Oh, Locky Himinen. As far as I'm concerned. Yeah, Markkanen has done an incredible job of keeping up his scoring pace and his efficiency throughout the season. He's a leader in dunks and a leader in three-pointers. Pretty cool. And, you know, I mean, I don't really feel like the home team has to have an all-star, but it's nice when they do.
Sure. Okay. So we got five locks right there. Ja Morant, SGA, Dame, Sabonis, and Markkanen. Only two spots left. I would like to propose this. I teased it in the last block there when we were talking about the East. I'm ruling out, and I am not selecting guys that haven't played 30 games. That is, you know, we're talking about a 60% games played mark. Zion got in as a starter, so that's fine. But for me, it removes Devin Booker, who came up just short. I think he's played 29 games. He's obviously not back yet. 29 of 50, that's 58%. Anthony Davis at 26 games played and Kawhi Leonard at 25 games played. Look, those are incredible players, but I got to have a games played line somewhere here. You can't play like, you know, five games and be an all-star, in my opinion, and I'm making it 30. Tass, you want to push back against that, or you have any of those three names
no,
on your team?
No, I'm fine with that. And I think everybody around the NBA, you know, aside from fans, see it that way too. Like, the players ranked Anthony Davis as the seventh best forward, and the games played comes into account, you know, below guys like Sabonis and Paul George. Markkanen was the fourth best forward by a mile, but with the players, I think they do understand that those are Durant like efficiency numbers, those Durantian numbers, those are real. So Markkanen deserves it, obviously. I'm fine dropping Anthony Davis. The Devin Booker thing, yeah, it's cutthroat, but he has missed a lot of time. And the Kawhi Leonard, come on, he's playing in 50% of the games. You can't. I mean, there's got to be some sort of consistency. So he's okay with missing it.
You don't want to fudge it a little. You don't want to fudge it a little, Skeets.
Come on, Booker.
29 games, 30 games. What's the difference?
I think a part of it is him being out right now for a big chunk.
That is true.
That's unfortunately a part of it. Look, I love Devin Booker more than most people, but even I got to be like, ah. This is just going to be my rule, man. You're on the outside looking in here.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Yeah, it's like, I'm glad you're not a cop, man, because if I went 1 mile an hour over the speed limit, $125 ticket. But honestly, I feel like how bad the Suns have been without Devin Booker is kind of a case for Devin Booker. I mean, he had his own case through his 29 games. He was playing at an MVP level, at least knocking on the door of the conversation. Once he went out, the Suns got terrible. But like you're saying, he's not back yet, and we don't know when he's back, which makes it tough to put him on the team.
Okay, so just, for the sake of, dare I say, simplicity here, we're going to scratch Booker, AD, and Kawhi. Maybe you disagree with us. Let us know in the stream team. Tweet at us at NoDunkSaying. Okay, but just like the East, if we're following the rules, three front court players, two guards, two wild cards, we still need a third big man on our West reserves, because we only have Sabonis and Lauri Markkanen locked in. I think this is a fascinating one, Tass, to debate of like where you go for that third forward on your West team. Who are you going to bat for?
Yeah, it's a very difficult one. To me, it came down to Jaren Jackson Jr. and Aaron Gordon. But I have Jaren Jackson Jr. I think he's been, obviously the blocks per game, he's going to lead it at the end of the day. He has missed a decent amount of time, but I think offensively he's taken another step, and defensively he's one of the better players in the NBA, period. So I think it's difficult to keep him off the team if you're okay with the games played. So I go Jaren Jackson Jr. He's better defensively than Aaron Gordon. I think he's better offensively. Aaron Gordon is doing his part, obviously, with the Nuggets. But JJJ is my guy.
You didn't say Paul George. Not in consideration there with those other forwards you named?
He is. He is in consideration. But
nobody wants to pick Paul George.
He's been fine. It's just that it's such an up and down. It's an up and down season with them. And nobody wants to pick Paul George. You watch him and he's a difference maker, but
it sucks to pull up Paul George's numbers and be like, damn, this guy's an all-star.
I know.
This guy's balling. And he's played a lot of games comparatively.
So where do you go, Trey?
Jaren Jackson Jr. That's the guy for me as well. The most impactful defender per minute in the league. He does enough offensively. And you got to get the front court requirement. So I got Triple J in as well. Also because it feels like he's picking up steam as the season goes along. Started late and then has been on the court. And the Grizzlies have been solid while he's playing. I see a lot of people saying we need to get rid of positions. You know, front court, back court, and how it's messing things up. Especially when you look at the Eastern Conference front court. What we need to do is get rid of conferences. Because there's enough front court all-stars and enough back court all-stars between the conferences. They don't even play a conference game anymore. What's the point?
Yeah, right. You're saying there's definitely more deserving, it feels like, forwards in the East, or front court players in the East, and then there's more probably deserving West court, West back court players. Yeah,
that's right.
That's a good point. Wow, this one's tough. The Jaren Jackson Jr., I didn't see both of you guys making a case for him. It's a little Brook Lopez-like, is it not? I mean, similar in the sense that they're defensive anchors and they're rocks, and like he might win it, but offensively what they do, it's, you know, they can stretch the floor, they're not filling up the box score and going for 25 and 30s, and they're like supporting players to their other stars. That's where I'm like not as convinced. I can't believe it. I gotta put Paul George in.
Somebody's gotta do
it. I know no one wants him there, but you're right, Trey. I did exactly that. I was like, damn, he's played more games than I thought. Damn, he's had a better season than I thought. He's obviously a multiple time All-Star. His team is fine in a West that's just, you know, a logjam. I gotta go PG. No one's gonna like it, but that's my third forward there, along with Sabonis and Lauri Markkanen. So that leaves one spot. Tass, do you go guard? Do you go another forward? Where are you leaning?
What a difficult pick this was. I had to debate many, many times with myself because Devin Booker is the best player available. There's no doubt. But he is at the 29-game mark. Oh, boy. Hopefully he comes back and he is an injury replacement if he doesn't get in initially. So to me, it came down to the Fox, De'Aaron Fox, and Anthony Edwards. Now, I kind of wanted to reward Anthony Edwards for playing in every single basketball game, 50 games. And he's been solid. But Fox has been even a little bit more solid, and I want to reward the winning that's happening at the top of the Western Conference. And yeah, the Kings are at the top-ish of the Western Conference, while the Wolves have been on a roller coaster. So De'Aaron Fox, my last guy, two guys from the Sacramento Kings. Who would have thunk it?
Okay, Tasco's Fox. What about you, Trey, for your final, you know, wild card pick there?
I'm honestly still undecided, and I agree with Tess. This is a nature battle here. Fox versus Ant. You got the clutch scoring from Fox. He's a co-number one at the very least, alongside Sabonis. And I mean, he's just having an incredible season. Anthony Edwards, though, has been the highest riser to me. Like, when we're going in and breaking down the case, you're like, wow, he's really put together a solid season. He's doing it at the right time. The Timberwolves are now back at 500. He's been carrying them through injuries. He's basically 25-5-5 since Karl Anthony Towns went down. The team didn't know what to do when Cat went down in December, so they really struggled. But then Kyle Anderson stepped into the starting lineup. And now the Timberwolves are 9-4 in January, largely with Edwards putting the team on his back. I don't know, though. I'm going to wait for your pitches here, and then I'll decide between Fox and Edwards.
Well, I'm going to bat for De'Aaron Fox. I don't think that's going to shock a lot of people. I feel like it's similar to like years prior where Devin Booker had really good numbers, and people that watched the games were like, this guy is an all-star talent, but everybody was like, yeah, but your team sucks. Win some games. And then finally Booker's son started to win some games, and I was like, oh yeah, he is an all-star. Well, I think that's sort of going on with Fox here too. You know, there's been years where he's had great numbers, but everybody's like, yeah, but the Kings suck, like win some games. Well, they're third in the freaking West, and yeah, Sabonis is a huge part of it, but so is he. So I go with Fox as my final pick, averaging 24-6-4, 59% true shooting percentage. And he's one of the best clutch players in the league, as we said when we were talking to DeRozan, him, and Brunson. I've compared the Knicks to the Kings as comparable teams in both conferences. So they both get two All-Star selections, two picks as my reserves. Fox and Sabonis in the West, and Randall and Brunson in the East. I go Fox over Ant. Ant is making it very difficult with how he's played recently, though.
Yeah, oh man, that's a tough call. I think last 2 months, it's Edwards over Fox for me, but entirety of the season, I'm in. I'm in on the purple boys. Give me De'Aaron Fox as my last Western Conference reserve.
Okay, so I guess, like, you know, if we're a straight-up democracy here, Jaren Jackson Jr., you guys both selected, so he's one of those spots, and then all three of us in the end taking De'Aaron Fox as that final spot to go along with Ja Morant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Damian Lillard, Sabonis, and Lauri Markkanen. It's a good-sounding team. I feel bad for Aaron Gordon. You know, he might make it, like, being if the Nuggets have that number one record and the coaches are like, no, they're deserving of a second. And he's been very, very good. I mean, his numbers are not going to, like, blow you away, but he's shooting 57% from the field. I mean, that you can do that if you know, play alongside Jokic. You're going to get some good shots. But he's averaging 17-7-3 is Is that enough in a season where just stats are inflated like crazy? It's tough. And he's a good defensive player too. Like, you can make that case. I feel bad leaving him off. Any other what about this guy's test?
Yeah, Jerome pointing out here quietly in the private chat that if Aaron Gordon is an all-star, he's going in the dunk contest. That's what he told SI.com.
I don't buy that for a second. I don't buy that.
You calling him a liar? Jerome. Aaron Gordon?
No, not Jerome. I'm calling. I don't buy this, like, hey, let's get Aaron Gordon as an all-star reserve and he'll go against in the dunk contest. I don't think he will.
Why?
He's been embarrassed three times now in the dunk contest where he's like, should have won it twice. Do you remember what he said after the last time he like got hosed? He was like, screw this.
He made a song about it. He loved it. He was robbed. The man was robbed.
I know.
I think it's worth it alone just to call his bluff.
Call his bluff?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, look, hey, yeah. I mean, look, I could gladly remove Paul George to put Aaron Gordon on my team to then have a maybe in the dunk contest.
It's all a long play to give Paul George hope and then be like, you know what, Aaron Gordon, I'm sorry.
Right.
And the NBA is leaving a spot open in the dunk contest, which is kind of odd.
Three of the four
have been announced, except... Yeah. We expected Obi Toppin to come back and defend his title, but
I had heard that he wanted to, but maybe the league's like, hold on, Aaron Gordon might go in this again.
They're probably like, let's wait on Toppin. He's gonna say yes. Don't worry about it. That's a guaranteed yes.
On the Facebook invite, Aaron Gordon's a maybe, depending on who's there.
Right.
Yeah. So we're just waiting to see at that point. That's actually why, in your Ant versus Fox, I would only want Ant just for the dunks that would show up in the game itself.
Oh, okay, for sure.
I
mean, look, Fox can throw down too, not Anthony Edwards style. I'll give you
that. As someone who has loved Yuta Watanabe on the Raptors, I am very aware that Anthony Edwards is very good at dunking.
Yes, he is. The only other, hey, what about this guy I have on my list? I mean, you guys have Jaren Jackson Jr. and team. I had him on night list there. CJ McCollum? As a fair what about this guy? How he's played for the Pelicans? Yeah, I think he deserves at least a little head nod. And if you want, go nuts on a Jeremy Grant. There, he's been said. I don't think anyone's going to be making a very strong case that he's...
The people wanted to hear his name, though.
Yes.
They needed to hear Jeremy Grant.
Good. Wow. Anyone else? Any other final thoughts, Tass, on our all-star selections here?
Well, no, I think we did pretty well. I do like... the Anthony Edwards brings the excitement to the All-Star game vibe because, you know, he'll do some funny stuff. Mm-hmm. I had him initially partly for that reason. I just want to see him out there. I think he'll be great out there. And, you know, a couple of these guys will get added as injury replacements.
But the
players and how they looked at things was interesting to me. As I said, Anthony Davis, the seventh best forward. You know, below Markkanen, Sabonis, Paul George, and Zion, like well below Zion. Only 29 games for Zion, but the players had him third. That's how much they, you know, respect that dude.
I can't believe how much merit you put into these player all-star votes. I can't. I'm shocked by it. They don't care.
They play the game, Skeets. We're just suckers here.
They don't care, though. In seeing how they vote, they don't give a shit. They vote for their friends. They vote for their teammates.
Is Lauri Markkanen their friend? Lauri Markkanen is the fourth best forward by a million. By a million votes. They voted for four forwards. And Lauri Markkanen was the fourth one. And they didn't care about... I mean, They didn't
vote for four forwards. They voted for more. Many more forwards is my point. That's what my issue with it. At least with the fan vote and really the media vote, it's like, we're talking starters here, not reserves. There's like two or three spots. You shouldn't have 15 guys in consideration. And that's what the players do. That makes no sense. It should be like three to six guys or whatever it is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. I mean, they're going to vote for guys that, you know, that are their friends to some degree. But you got guys like Draymond Green, you know, way, way, way down. Andrew Wiggins. What happened, BTS? You didn't do shit this year. They're 19th. Andrew Wiggins was the 19th ranked forward. But yeah, they there was a huge drop off after four forwards, LeBron, Jokic, Zion, and then Markkanen. I mean, the players and media obviously like Sabonis, but the fans, you know, It came through at the end for Sabonis, but I was surprised to see how much respect Lauri Markkanen had from his colleagues to be, you know, way up, that they all said, you know, basically unanimously, that he is the fourth best forward in the NBA.
We think the West, he's, I should say, deserving of making the team. Do you think we should change how we do the votes at all? Trey, is this working, the 50% fan vote, and then sort of the checks and balances from the players and media to make sure there isn't a, you know, a potential Pachulia, you know, starting the game? And, like,
what would we do, man? Can you imagine Zaza Pachulia starting an All-Star game? What an embarrassment. That'd be ridiculous. I guess it's working fine. I don't know. It's a little bit better than just a straight-up fan vote, so you don't have the weird scenarios, but then sometimes you still have weird scenarios. I don't know. Yeah. The biggest change to me is dropping conferences, because there's no reason at this point.
Yeah. You could get rid of positions, drop conferences. I mean, why don't we just pick the best players? I got no issue with that for an exhibition game. Because it means nothing, really. Are any bonuses caked into All-Star selections? It's more usually all NBA. There might be.
There's probably like contract incentives.
Yeah. What do you got, Jerome?
Just like a thought, because Tass mentioned BTS Army. I think this is just because we're fresh out of voting, for the next year, this is for every team, every specific player, you have to make a campaign for the BTS Army pick. I think everyone should make, so they could just lock themselves in and rig the voting at that point. I think that's the move. I think it's harder now because Twitter's out of the picture. Like, I think that's why we don't have that opportunity.
That's true. Yeah, I got to do it through the app. That's a good point.
You got to do it through the app.
Yep.
But I just think, like, find the largest possible population you can that would vote for you. Like, it's kind of wild Raptors don't get it because they have a whole country behind them. But,
right,
like, do that. Lean in as hard as possible. I think if you have an NBA player that's willing to do a full K-pop choreography for votes, they're going to the All-Star game.
Wow.
That's probably true. That's worth a vote. If you put together a choreographed dance routine, you should at least get to go to the All-Star game because you care about entertainment.
Exactly.
I sort of miss...
All-Star game and halftime show at that point.
I miss the, you know, the blog boy days of some of these players, like, doing, like, funny little campaigns to try and get All-Star love, like Chris Bosh.
The Chris Bosh is the classic, right?
Comes to mind. Like, that used to be a thing for, like, 3 years where it was, like, right around this time. You know, they got their teams and are trying to get creative and doing their little videos. And the teams help them out with, like, packages they send out. But I feel like that's, like, sort of gone at this point.
Use the algorithm to get you to All-Star. That's the move.
So are we saying we are available to be bought for votes and our platform? Yeah.
1,000%. By the time we get to next All-Star, how many? 80K, 100K on YouTube, I think.
Oh, 100K, easy.
At least, right? So if that's the case, we're going to be up there. We're going to give up 100,000 votes to anyone.
I love it.
Times three on multiplier days, too. So, like, you're walking into All-Star.
Yeah. Like, someone like Kyle Kuzma's got to be contacting us.
Kyle, get your best balaclava. You are in.
Yeah.
that's got to be one of our pitches, too. We only put the votes in on triple days, so you know they count a lot.
Yeah.
You're going to get in the top 10 at least.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are our All-Star picks. I think we did a pretty good job of making that clear enough for you to follow along how we did it, you know, with the starters, obviously, and then our locked picks and then debating the last couple of spots. Let's hear who's on your team, though. Before we take our last break, just quickly, pick 'em results. Dallas Phoenix. I had Phoenix. Tass, you had Phoenix. They got back in this game, got very, very close. But in the end, Dallas covers, straight up wins. With no Luka. I don't know if anyone wants to comment on that, Tass, where Luka goes out very early with the sprained ankle. I guess by all accounts, it's not too, too serious. You know, negative x-rays and all that. They don't seem to be overreacting, but any thoughts on that game or any of the other games last night?
Dinwiddie obviously stepped up when Luka went out. He said, I got this. Dropping 36, that was a big part. I thought the other big part was, you know, the Mavs were pretty aggressive defensively without Booker out there. They just, you know, just kind of scrambled against Chris Paul and did a good job. And then DeAndre Ayton with the ball didn't take advantage. He was just, you know, missing a lot of mid-range shots. He was 6 for 20. And that was really a difference for me. If you know, he bangs home a couple shots, the game is a lot different. But they played really, 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 really hard defensively on the ball handler, and they, you know, begged DeAndre Ayton to shoot. He did, and he couldn't come through. So a really big win for them.
So Spencer Dinwiddie will be Luka's replacement as the West starter if he can't go. Is that fair? I mean, he's proven that he can step up and do a pretty good Luka impersonation. Trey, any thoughts on your big win there to improve to 12-6 in our pick'em?
Yeah, I thought that was a nice win for the Mavericks to be able to respond to Luka's injury and get a win against a team that's been playing a lot better recently. You know, Dinwiddie had, what, 36 of 99 for the Mavericks? That's pretty impressive in a really low-scoring game. And I don't know, maybe that's a win they can build on going forward, because it feels like anytime Luka misses a game and it's just everybody else out there, especially considering Christian Wood is out, we've seen that game go really poorly for the Mavericks a lot of times this season, but they did a good job to get that win. And I thought the Knicks did sort of the same thing. The way the Celtics reared back into that game to be able to stabilize themselves in overtime, got some help from Jaylen Brown, no doubt about it, but still to be able to respond to a great team playing at home, making a huge comeback, and then still have your wits about you to play in the overtime period. Great win for the Knicks.
Yeah. Probably the Knicks' best win of the season, I would think, going in there in Boston and pulling off in overtime, and a pretty good win there from the Mavericks with no Luka and hopefully nothing serious there with the ankle. So what's tonight's pick here, Tass, on a Friday night?
Oh, it's NBA Rivals Week. Oh. Remember, the Grizzlies and the Wolves played last year in the postseason. It was a really, really fun series. A lot of teams don't like the Grizzlies, so it seems like the Grizzlies have a lot of rivals in this league. But the Wolves, this is a legitimate one. Because Anthony Edwards said earlier in the season when they were struggling, oh, we're going to play the Grizzlies, that'll get us going. So this should be a good one. Friday night in Minnesota. Minnesota's getting 3.5 points, so they just have to lose by 3 or less, while the Grizzlies have to win by 4 or more. Skeets, you like Memphis to win by 4 or more, while we're taking the points, Trey, at home.
There it is. You know, don't back me right now. I'm garbage. But I love this comment before we take our final break. Tass, you brought the Craig David look.
Did he have a do-rag?
I don't know. I think he got the vest. I'm not sure, but it made me laugh.
Yeah, Stan. Craig David, he never wore it. Well, actually, you're right. You're right.
You're looking like Craig David after all.
Gur Salad Ali. I just did a love your handle. Just did a quick Google. You're totally right. Here. This is Craig David.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's the photo.
That's very good. I got that reference. My God.
NBA Rivals Week. They should have got Craig David to do the theme song.
Go on.
7 days, you know? No?
Well, you said it was 6 days, so that wouldn't work.
It was actually 5 days, Skeets.
Oh, well, there you go. That didn't work at all. I like Sean, though, here in the stream team. The best part of Rivalry Week is the friends you make along the way. Ain't that the truth? There, Sean. Good comment. Okay, let's take our last break. When we come back, Trey with Tweet of the Night and some rapid-fire fun.
It's NBA playoffs time, and that means NBA snack time. I can't stop eating while I'm watching. So many options in my house that I gotta cut out a bit. I gotta switch it up, but I know I'm not giving up. Sunflower seeds, sure. But maybe something that's not a food for that oral fixation, perhaps? Good thought. Here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Its taste is surprising. All natural stuff. It's fun to fidget with, and it's a good weight. The wood feels good, and it feels cool to use. Start the good habit by going to tryfume.com/dunks and getting the Journey Pack today. Fume is giving listeners to the show 10% off when they use our code DUNKS to help make starting the good habit that much easier.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Okay, let's start wrapping up this drop podcast. We have Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Few tweets of the night coming at you. We got a late breaking one here from a stream teamer. Sam Likes Eggs tweeted in this morning that his fan sign got confiscated at last night's Hornets Bulls game. In I traveled 4,400 miles, picture Miles Plumlee, for Plumlee, but I guess I will settle for Mason. We've been talking a lot about signs, and that is an incredible sign. And also, Mason Plumlee went 9-for-9 from the field last night, including a pull-up lefty jumper in front of the Hornets bench that the entire arena went crazy for. I've never been sadder in my life than seeing Mason Plumlee hit a pull-up jumper against your favorite team.
Why is that sign confiscated? What's wrong with that sign?
Look, I know you're usually the skeptical one here, Skeets, but this just might have been a print job. This might have been
a print for it?
The internet. Yeah, that would be easy to sneak in. I see no folds. If you really want to get that sign in, fold it up, put it in your back pocket, Sam.
Okay. Wow, Sam was committed to the bit then. I actually thought he maybe took it there.
A print bit?
Yeah, nice print bit.
I mean, let us good know, sign. Sam, if you're watching. I know an often stream teamer, but I'm not sure if I've seen yet this morning. Yeah. But I'm sure we'll get a tweet about it later. But saw the sign. We've been talking a lot about signs. Had to see the sign on the show. Yep. Next tweet of the night. That one came from this morning. This tweet came from 2 days ago. But still, tweet of the night. It's from Crocs. Crocs goes courtside. Get the exclusive collection for NBA All-Star Weekend. Grab yours at crocs.shoes/NBA. These are some crazy NBA Crocs
Holy man, here.
They look like teeth a little bit. That's a standard Croc, a little bit more teethed out, I would say. And then they are covered in NBA print logos, like a pair of NBA jeans from back in the day. They also offer a platform version of the NBA Crocs. NBA All-Star shoes, I feel like, are less of a big deal these days. You know, it used to be a special release that they would come out. Not quite as notable, but I'm happy to see Crocs doing something special in this space. These are incredible. Would you wear these, Jerome?
I mean, we're all going to have to get them for the live show, I hate to tell you right now. I mean, we're going to have, like, really long days moving from place to place doing content. And what's better than to be most comfortable and most obviously NBA fan than wearing these Crocs?
Is there snow on the ground in Salt Lake City?
There probably
is. Could be a problem.
Yeah. Crocs in very thick socks. It rhymes. It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Tass, would you like those?
Yes, I do. I like the platform ones a lot better than the teeth ones. You don't want holes in your shoes. Like the platform ones, you know.
I agree.
Yeah,
I
mean, it feels very snow friendly.
Yeah, it looks like a snowshoe easily.
Yeah. looks durable for sure. All right, good. I randomly saw a photo of those, but I had no idea like you could actually buy them or were they official. But here we go. I'm learning things on Tweet of the Night that we got to get
Supreme
some NBA
could
Crocs.
Do it.
Oh yes.
Then why can't Crocs? You know, if J.R. Smith approves a full on logo. Covered gear, then why not? We need to get, I think, Trey the full Supreme outfit with the Crocs under it, and that will be the entire fit for the live show.
That will be a Salt Lake City fit.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I'm a fan of the NBA, just in general, you know?
Yeah.
I just like all
the
teams.
We never followed up on it, but what, like the big hats, that was such a big thing at the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah, the giant hats, the novelty size hats.
Man, is there a logo limit on how many logos you can get from the big hats?
And you could get NBA logos, G League logos, WNBA logos. You could put them
but
all.
Like multiple, like it's a big hat. It should fit everything possible.
Yeah, I like that idea. It's got enough surface area to put every logo you've ever seen on a hat.
If it's a basketball team, throw it on.
Yeah, yes. Good idea. Okay, let's wrap up the drop here with some rapid-fire fun. Tass, you got the questions. The three of us have the answers. Let's get to it.
On TNT, Shaq admitted to not knowing who Rui Hachimura was. And he wasn't about to study up on him either. To quote the Big Diesel, "If you ain't a top 10 player, I don't know who you are." That wasn't a good ending. "If you ain't a top 10 player, I don't know who you are." What's something you don't care to learn about?
It was more to Kemi than Shaq.
Yeah, it was a fascinating Shaq impersonation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good. I like it.
What is something I don't care to learn about? I was going to go with some obvious answers like cooking or cars. But.
Oh, cars is good. Yeah.
I thought of another one. I do not care to learn about the proper way to say the old Mariners adage. Is it red sky at night, sailors delight, red sky in morning, sailors take warning? Or is it red sky at night, sailors take fright, red sky in morning, sailors adorning? Which one is it? I don't want to know. Don't ever tell me. I like to be confused about it. I like to see a red sky at night and go, ooh, delight for sailors, or ooh, take fright for sailors. I don't know, and I don't care to learn.
I didn't even know there was a second version. I've only heard the former. What did you say the second half of it was? Red sky
at
night.
Yeah, the second one is
adorning?
The one I made up. Yeah, the one I made up. Red sky at night, sailors take fright. Red sky in morning, sailors adorning.
Sailors adorning? Just putting on all their sailing gear.
I don't know. I always want to be confused how the sailors are feeling when they see a red sky at night. Or in the morning, vice versa. Which one is it?
It just sounds like the Manfred Mann song Blinded by the Light, where they argue about lyrics there, too. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
All right, Trey, what's something you don't care to learn about?
The DC Extended Universe. Hmm. They made a lot of these movies. I saw Man of Steel because my hometown was Smallville, but I tried to watch the beginning of Wonder Woman, and the imagery was so, literally dark, as in, hard to watch dark. Mm-hmm. It wasn't entertaining. They seemed to me to be dour movies. So I was kind of happy that Black Adam by The Rock failed, because if he had a successful superhero movie, I probably would have dipped in. And then suddenly I'm in the DC universe. But I've decided I'm just going to be a Marvel guy. They've got too much content for me anyways. I can't devote myself to two complete worlds.
Well, I mean, the good news for you is they're completely trashing the entire DCEU and they're starting anew again. So you don't need to, they tanked, they're doing a full on restart.
Well, I hope they're not good this time around, because I can't watch them.
My favorite thing about Black Adam is because every time I see an advert, it says the age of heroes is over, and it couldn't be the worst self-burn of just calling your own shot. The movie that ends it, but yeah, hopefully the new ones are not good that you have to get into.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, Jerome, what's something you don't care to learn about?
Latte art.
Okay.
For those who tuned in to that the Christmas week where the three of us were together, I really went on a rant about the lady who took the croissants at my favorite coffee shop.
Yeah.
So I'm a big coffee person. I do enjoy doing it, and I like drinking it. And I did get a new espresso machine, which I'm really pumped about. It's got a frother and everything.
Wow.
And I'm so ready. I see people, baristas do it. It seems so easy. It's just a little stir and pour and go. And then, yeah, I tried it at home. I definitely need a YouTube video and tutorial to figure out how to do it. I do not know how to do it, and it's getting to the discouraging point where I don't care to find out.
But hold on, you would just be doing it for what? The Instagram?
For me, just for the satisfaction. Yeah. I'll send it to maybe some friends and be look what I did. Yeah. But otherwise, I mean, the truth is, I'm so discouraged. I actually care so much about it, but I'm pretending I don't care, so...
Yeah, that's when you're gonna knock it out of the park, though, when you don't care.
Yeah, I tried one time by accident, and it looked like Goro from Mortal Kombat.
Well. Not on purpose, though?
Not on purpose. I poured it in, and I was like, it looks like a deity that I don't know, and I shared it with friends, and we're like, Goro.
Sounds like you're onto something.
Yeah, I'm not.
All right, next one. At his post-game media session Tuesday, Russell Westbrook received some nice compliments from a young reporter. I'll quote that reporter. Tonight you used impressive dribbling skills to fake out your opponent multiple times, and in the second quarter you made a jump shot where your body was turned 180 degrees from the basket. It was just an amazing shot. You're always making these spectacular moves within a split second. Do you anticipate doing them, or is it just second nature to you? Russ, while he was listening to that, was loving it. So what's the best compliment you've ever received, Skeets?
I don't know if it's the best, but I do enjoy getting the compliment when we meet fans of the show in person, like, say, maybe in Salt Lake City in 3 weeks, where they say, you're exactly like you are on the podcast or on the YouTube stream. Like, you're the exact same person. It's like, yeah, that's good because it's like not putting anything on here for the show. So I'll go with that very kind compliment that I've received a couple times from fans.
All right, Trey.
I went back to our Wednesday pickup run this week. A lot of new personnel in the gym, not familiar with my game. I made a bank shot early on, and I got called Tim Duncan for the whole night. Oh. I made one bank shot, and I got called a Hall of Famer all night. But considering some of the trash I've taken for the form on my jump shot, I was feeling pretty good about that one.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It is nice. It is nice that Timmy had that shot, because I heard it on a broadcast this week as well. Somebody banked it home, because otherwise, if he didn't have that shot, I don't think there'd be a lot of Timmy references.
He's the most famous bank shot guy for sure. I don't even know who number two is. No one?
Dwayne Wade, maybe?
Wade, sure. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Russ is, getting
Russ
in on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Westbrook takes a lot.
He used to be that guy. Yeah. Like, back in the OKC days, his mid-range and bank shot,
All right, Jerome, what's the best compliment you've ever received?
As you guys know, I work on the content for shorts and everything here. So my favorite thing is when I make an edit on Twitter and someone quote tweets it, please revoke Jerome Chang's Adobe subscriber account.
Damn.
Because it just feels like, I think my favorite kind of quote tweet is just like, who did this? You're wrong for this. I have friends who have tag the U.S. Navy SEALs to come get me. But I feel like it's like the highest regard when you upset someone so much with an edit that you work on.
They have to comment.
They have to comment. So my favorite thing, revoke his Adobe Cloud account.
All right, final one here. The Bulls and Pistons played a game in Paris this past week, and Detroit's Isaiah Livers journaled his experience for The Athletic. It was a real fun read from him and James Edwards. Livers' biggest highlight? Well, it was the opera. He went and saw the opera. Here's part of what he had to say. Quote, I never heard an opera singer in person. I'm an opera fan now. There was a guy walking around and singing at the same time. It was cool. The lady that came out of nowhere, the mood, the tones, she was just killing it. What's something new you plan on experiencing like Isaiah Livers, Skeets?
Well, I'm going on a boys hiking trip in late March or early April. We're going to Utah. Very excited. Going to do some national parks. But we're going to end in Vegas because that's where we're flying in and out of. So we'll be spending one night in Vegas. And we have decided we are finally going to experience old Vegas. Always talk about going up to it. You know, we're talking like downtown Las Vegas, not the Strip. But we're just always staying on the Strip. You never leave the Strip. So we have decided we are staying in Old Vegas. I was talking to Matty O about it. He's been there, spent a night there. He said, it's skeevy.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, that's what we want. We want it like that. And he said, oh, you're going to love it. It's, some great dive bars, some great dive casinos. I'm looking forward to it. If you have suggestions of where we should go or eat at or whatever we should get up to in Old Vegas. Pumped. Can't wait. One night. Sounds perfect.
I think if you dress like a cowboy, you'll be happy.
Oh,
yeah. Isn't there like a dancing the golden nugget or something down there? Yeah.
I haven't. Isn't there also the zip line that you could do? You could.
I believe
across.
There is. I mean, we're talking. Yeah. The Fremont.
Exactly.
Area. I've never been. I mean, there's always been talk about it when we would be out there, and we just never make our way up there, even though it's not even that far. But you know, it's Vegas. You're like, why leave this area?
Anything outside of the Strip feels like an entirely different.
So
thing.
Far.
Yeah. That yeah. Way. Yeah.
But so that's why we're forcing ourselves to stay up there. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Trey.
There was a new phone game that came out recently, NBA All-World. Very interesting to me. It's basically Pokemon Go, but make it the NBA. You travel to different literal basketball courts where you're supposed to be able to go like one-on-one against somebody else who theoretically would have this, or maybe there's a player that's tied to it GPS-wise or whatever. So I was like, all right, I like Pokemon Go. I'll try this AR game, see what it's all about. I'm a basketball fan. And then
Did
I got
Lee
my
Ellis develop this app.
Yeah, I was gonna say he would kill this game. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was exciting to me as well. And then I got my starter player that I was gonna have to battle everybody with.
Yep.
DeAndre Jordan.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, well, I guess I'll never play this game.
Don't you? But I think you level up, right? Is that the idea? Like you
can level up with DeAndre Jordan.
Well, you can get different players, I think.
You can get more blocks.
Yeah, exactly. But I gotta beat somebody with DeAndre Jordan. It's gonna be impossible. Yeah. I went through the tutorial. I had CJ McCollum. I was feeling pretty good. I was like, that's a perfect starter player.
Yeah.
You can get some buckets, but not an all-star, so you can work your way up a little bit. I hit with a DJ once I got to the real game. Oh,
you shouldn't
one.
Be allowed to create your own character. I don't understand why you have to start with an NBA player.
I thought
player.
So too.
Yeah. That's weird.
I've seen somebody here got Gary Trent Jr. I would be happier with a Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah.
Just be shooting threes. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
It's a one-on-one game.
You show up
in
the best fits. It would be great.
How
you
do
like
I run
someone in a fur coat?
How do I run a pick and roll alley-oop for DeAndre Jordan when I'm only DeAndre Jordan? He's got
throw it off the glass.
That's what I gotta do.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask your opponent to throw it to you. It doesn't really make much sense. Jerome, something new you want to experience?
It's actually also in the video game space. It's very late to the party, but Animal Crossing has really been on my mind of late.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, it's actually not the game itself, but specifically this one TikTok account, @NotEuro, that has been taking Animal Crossing music and mashing it with actual songs. I actually brought a clip for reference. If that doesn't put you in a great mood, I'm sorry. So, based on, I mean, my music listening habits in the last 2 weeks have basically been these mashups and just listening to this one new K-pop song by a group, New Jeans, called Oh My God. So I've been in a very specific space right now.
Wow.
After listening to that, the Animal Crossing music is so pleasant. If I can make that a part of my entire being, I think I just have to get into the game. Also, one of my good friends insists I get a Switch, so this might be my entryway at that point.
There you go. There you go. This guy's getting the Switch for sure. Well, there it is. Rapid fire fun. That's a drop podcast. Did you agree or disagree with our all-star picks? Let us know in the comments. Let's see your teams. Tweet at us @NoDunksInc. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review if you're a podcast listener. Make sure you like the stream. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube if you watch us either live or later. We appreciate it. We're back in the Classic Factory on Monday. JD right now, I saw some people asking, why aren't the guys in the factory? JD is in Memphis, where his sons are in some sort of blues performance. These guys are very talented, his sons. So they're in a band there. Anyway, he's there right now, but we'll be back on Monday. JD will be back. Jerome will be helping us in the backgrounds, getting up the YouTube shorts. So go follow him on Twitter as well, @BlackDragonRoll. And maybe you'll see some sweet mashups like that that you'll be sharing on your social media channels, I'm sure.
I think That's one of those things where if you follow me on TikTok, I'm just reposting them nonstop. That's one thing for sure. But if it needs to make the Twitter space, I'm more than happy to make a thread of my favorite mashups.
There you go.
From that account. There you go.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll be back on Monday with our NBA weekend winners and losers. A lot of rivals games on this weekend. So a lot of Saturday basketball actually on throughout the day. So I'm sure we'll be talking about some of those if they're fun finishes. We'll see you on Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern, live here on YouTube. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Yeah, it's Chaka Demus, Pliers, and the Clipper Bro coming at you, man.
Yeah.
Brace the weekend, people.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.